A Milford High School basketball coach is on leave following allegations of shoving a student and swearing at them. It just sounds like unruly behavior, according to several reports. This was a foreign high school JV basketball coach who is now going to face a judge on these allegations later this month. And I don't need to particularly talk about this case, but in general, we have seen sort of unruly behavior. It feels like more often than we should from coaches in the last few years across the state of Connecticut. And maybe it's something we're seeing nationwide, but we want to get some insight on this. Glenn Lungarini is here, the executive director of the CIAC, which oversees high school sports across the state of Connecticut. And Glenn, always appreciate getting your insight into these types of stories. Let's talk about, it doesn't have to be this case in particular, but let's start with that. Are we seeing more unruly behavior from coaches in recent years?
Yes. Good morning, Melissa. You know, I think one of the biggest changes that we've seen in coaching, you know, really for, you know, probably a decade, maybe more, is just the number of coaches that are not teachers. And, you know, that is, as a former principal athletic director, you know, whenever possible, we always try to find educators who are willing to coach teams. They just have a better, you know, understanding of education-based athletics. As we see the landscape change from, you know, kids looking at things like NIL money, expectations of teachers, and the emphasis being placed on winning, not development, that has created, I think, a big change in the culture of sports, where even at the high school level, you know, people feel that it's their job to win, not necessarily developing players.
So that's interesting, Glenn. One of the first things you said was that we're seeing non-teachers stepping up as coaches. Now, haven't we had an issue in recent years? I know with referees and umpires, we're having a hard time filling shortages. But are we seeing the same kind of issues with just coaches in general as well?
We not necessarily with a shortage of coaches, but, you know, I think that there are pretty large disparities based on the districts that you're going to of what is being offered for compensation for some of these positions. So, you know, in general, if you're going to be a varsity coach, you're probably going to make somewhere in the range of maybe, you know, $4,000 to $7,000. But there are some districts that are paying, you know, well above that. So it does create some disparities in where you're going. And when you think about the number of hours that you put in and you break that down, it's not a significant amount of pay. But, you know, again, I think the importance is, you know, people understanding that this is not these are not positions at the high school level where the number one goal is to win, right? The number one goal is to help kids develop, to use the skills that they're learning in school. That's what education-based athletics is. It's an extension of the school curriculum, and it's just a bit of a different mindset than that of club and AAU sports.
Okay, and I think perspective totally matters, which is why I love getting Glenn Lungarini's perspective on this. He is the executive director of the CIAC. So, Glenn, going back to your initial point of seeing more and more coaches, this was the second part of my question, more and more coaches who are not teachers or, you know, teaching in that school district. Why does that make a difference, would you say? Do you think it's because they're, you know, more connected to the student body? They're more, you know, like, They're not going to get as frustrated because they're used to sort of the antics, if you will, of preteens and teenage athletes. I mean, why would that make a difference?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we've been working on. We have actually next year we're hoping to roll out a curriculum that we have developed for interscholastic athletics, particularly at the high school level. And the idea of this is to for coaches, for people to spend a little bit of time each week in practice where you're building, you're working on those things like relationship building, getting better to know, understand your kids, find ways for them to have an outlet where they can talk about, you know, things that are being struggles for them, successes that they're experiencing. So, you know, when we think about how coaches come in and they're prepared to work with kids just in development of themselves. Oftentimes, the coaches who come from a non-teaching perspective, they may be experts in the sport themselves. They could be experts in the X and O's, and they are great on the work that they're doing from a skill level within the sport. But when it comes on, again, just understanding that we're dealing with kids ages, 14 to 17, and a lot of things going on, for these students, that's the background and knowledge that teachers have in the training and development to become an educator that many times coaches from outside the profession just don't have.
And again, I don't have all the details in this particular case out of Milford. This was a foreign high school basketball coach for the JV team. There is an ongoing internal and police investigation going on. That's according to the superintendent here in Milford. So I don't know all the details here, but my understanding from reports is that this was a situation where a student was shoved, apparently, allegedly, by the coach, and that the coach was found to be swearing, using inappropriate language, it sounds like, with the student. I'm curious, Glenn Lungarini, just in general, what are like the do's and don'ts? I mean, are those actions tolerated by a coach? And I only ask that because I do feel like, especially the language aspect of it. I mean, we've certainly seen, I think well before the pandemic, and we saw a lot of shift in unruly behavior, if you will, in fans, coaches, all that. I think we've always known coaches to kind of be sometimes hot-headed and say things as either motivation, what have you. But are those actions that are being, reported, are they acceptable?
Definitely not acceptable. I mean, it is it's a concept that, again, even back when I was an athletic director, I started my athletic director career in 2007. And some of my mentors, as we talked about, when you're hiring coaches, this is one of the first things you talk about them is it's there's never a situation where you put a hand on kids. I think if you're, a football coach teaching a blocking drill, that's one thing. But when you're, talking about game time, you're talking about practice and you're instructing, and in general rule of thumb is do not put hands on kids. And language is another thing. Again, I think, just culturally, you might hear a difference in the way people talk today than you did from years ago. But we constantly stress to the adults that you are the role models. You're the people who should be setting the example. And there's just, there's really not a place in, again, an education-based athletics for this. But, when you're watching sound clips and things on SportsCenter or you're watching something on social media and you see the actions of college coaches and professional coaches, and that's what kids emulate. And unfortunately, I think at times that's what coaches emulate as well.
The JV basketball coach from foreign high school in Milford is on leave pending an internal and police investigation. And the case itself is sort of broad. We don't have a lot of details into it, but reports are saying that this coach allegedly shoved a student athlete, also swore at them, used inappropriate language, and this person will be facing a judge later this month. We have Glenn Lungarini, who is here, the executive director of the CIAC, and we're talking about just unruly behavior in general and coaching etiquette. Glenn, talk about what the CIAC has really focused on in recent years to tackle this issue. We had a coach, it feels like in just the last year, we had a couple of coaches act out. Just actually a couple of weeks ago at a children's game, there was another incident where a parent ran out into the parking lot. A coach allegedly ran into them with the car. I mean, unfortunately, we have seen these situations pop up. It feels like more likely than we'd like them to. So what has the CIAC done to tackle this?
At the high school level, one of the things we've done both with our adults, whether it be coaches, spectators, and our student athletes, we've engaged kids on this work where our sportsmanship committee and our student athlete advisory board. So we have a large group of students that are working with athletic directors and principals, and we've established what we call class act standards. So with this, kids have established the standards of their expectations, working along with school administrators for what coaches should be emphasizing, what their actions should be, not only in practice, but in games. Along with that, we've worked with the Connecticut Association of Athletic Directors and the Connecticut High School Coaches Association to put points of emphasis on things like keeping coaches within their coaching boxes and make that a point of emphasis for our officials, things like in the sports of baseball, softball, not permitting coaches to go beyond the foul lines or the baselines to talk to officials. So, again, trying to create scenarios where we create that space, demonstrate the expectation that they are the role model, and have the kids involved of what they want to see within the actions of the coaches who are working with them.
In your professional opinion, Glenn, how essential are coaches, especially in not just in youth sports, but in youth development?
It's one of the key pieces, I think, of youth development. And when you talk to coach, I mean, even from my own experiences, you know, some of the greatest role models that I've had in my life are coaches. And those are the people that, you know, to this day, are still close friends. So, you know, my high school coaches, I remember very fondly Jim Mealy, who had passed away a few years ago, but he was my middle school basketball coach who, you know, would let me come in at 6 a.m. and work out with me in the gym when I was in, you know, fifth grade through eighth grade. And, you know, he didn't have to do that. And, you know, as we grow up as coaches, these are the people that made a lasting impact on me that, as I became a coach, tried to do that with other kids. But, you know, sports carries such a high emotional level with it during practice, when you're in the field on games, that if it's coached the right way, you can use that to also create very strong relationships and meaningful relationships with kids that help them develop as individuals on and off the courts and fields.
Do you think unruly families or parents or fans have made it a lot tougher for coaches to toe the line, if you will, Glenn?
I think the expectation that, you know, over the years, I mean, I go back to my generation where everybody wanted to be a Division I athlete, or thinking that, you know, we have the potential to do that too. Today, where it's just not about, you know, getting to that level of maybe getting a scholarship. But, you know, we see kids, you know, as young as middle school kids who are being offered name, image, and likeness deals now and are making money off of their names, and parents are, you know, working with agents. That's what I really think has changed, just the culture of, you know, club sports, AAU sports, the expectation that, you know, sports under the pro level are going to be a financial means of success for families. That I think has had a negative impact and one of the largest impact on youth sports.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Glenn Lungarini, always love chatting with you. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you.